Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I am Faye Davis. I am here with Carla Solms, and picture this. You're missing deadlines. There's long back and forth, getting nowhere type of email chains, conflicts between your team members, waiting hours for answers, less than ideal team morale. You know what's usually the culprit here? It's ineffective communication. Carla, help us out here. How can an organization overhaul its communication effectiveness?
Well, good morning, Faye. And I think we are definitely talking about something worthy of talking about today, and that's communication. And I know we've talked about it before. You and I have talked about it a lot, but it's something that I think we often take for granted. You know, think that you have communicated. We all pride ourselves on communicating. And it's one of those things that you can never do enough of. And so you always have to circle back and make sure when you're starting to feel that tension, and we talked about it an episode or two ago, it's always good in those tension moments to think to yourself, like, have I communicated well? Because usually the answer is you probably have, but maybe you need to communicate again.
Well, and people listen differently too. So you have to communicate in various ways.
Absolutely. And so when you think about effective communication, it really is not just did you deliver the message successfully, but it's also did the person or people that you're trying to communicate to, did they receive the message? And probably most important, did they actually understand the message? And so there are lots of times where you have to ask them questions to make sure that your message was actually received and understood, because there is a difference between hearing it and actually understanding what you were trying to say. And I think we've all been in situations where you heard what someone said, and then later you were talking to other team members and their other people interpreted what they said way different than what you did. And then you had to go back and really ask a lot of clarifying questions. So it's really important when we are communicating to make sure that we are like using factual data that's very concrete, that we can support that, that it's coherent, that it's simple, that it's digestible, that it's clear. Again, always worthy of going back here and checking to make sure whether what you thought was clear was actually clear. Was it concise? That makes things more clear. If you become really long-winded, it's harder for people to pay attention, keep reading if it's a written piece. And a lot easier for people to just get confused and to misinterpret things. So be concise, be complete. You definitely want to put in details. And if there's follow-up action, like making sure that your message is complete and concise is important. And then always being courteous. I think, you know, in this day and age, there's a lot of quick response that immediately when you receive it on the other end, it's not that the person was attempting to be rude, but if you're trying to communicate something important, start with your best foot forward. And that means that you are intentional about how you even start that message so that your reader or the person listening to you is starting on the best footing possible as you go into all of the concrete evidence and the facts and what you need done, what you need them to understand.
I actually have you very recently, or not very recently, but in the last year or so, you've ran into a little bit of that where someone pointed out to you like, hey, you know, you are very concise and to the point person with your Slack messages or your text messages. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So
totally going off script here.
I know. And I love that you pointed that out. I am the worst texter or slacker. You know, we use Slack as a messaging system in the office, and I love text in Slack. In fact, if people ask me, like, how do you prefer to be communicated to for short bits and pieces type things, I would say text or Slack, but one of our colleagues here, who's I love because she's just always, she just keeps it really real. She just one day said, you know, you are brutal via text and Slack. And I was so taken aback. I was like, what? Like, brutal? Like, no one has ever said anything.
You're like, no, like, I'm efficient.
I'm efficient. Like, I am such a warm, like, kind, easy to talk to person that for somebody to receive a message and be like, if we weren't friends, if I didn't know you, I would think you didn't like me or were mad at me based on how you communicate via text or Slack. So I think there's two learning lessons for me there. One, you know, how you present in person when you're communicating can be interpreted so differently based on what platform you're using. And it's important to know how you're showing up on both. And two, it's important for you to also let people know, like, hey, I have a tendency to be a short texter. So if it seems like not as personal, that's why. But at the same point, I have to self-assess, right? Like, if I'm being received that way by somebody who knows me, imagine the people who don't know me. I don't want that to be the start of our relationship in terms of communicating. So I need to do better. I need to do better at starting and really being more complete and to the times with text and Slack. Like, I don't put a bunch of exclamation points and emojis in there. I just kind of say what I say. And I recognize now that in 2021, emotion via text and warmth via text and Slack means that you're adding a little bit extra.
It's just that the little cherry on the cake.
It's to get for people to interpret the emotion behind what you're saying, you have to add a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because when I first transitioned onto your team, I use way too many exclamation points in my texts and my Slacks. I'm always typing LOL, even if I'm not actually laughing out loud, because I, in person, have a little bit more of a stern face. So I feel like I need to, like, overcompensate in my texting. So it's just funny how those dynamics can work for people. Carla, do you have advice for leaders of people to help them communicate better with their team?
Yeah, and I think it's a constant process. So number one is always keep checking back in with your team to just do that pulse check of how are you doing. But I think it's always good to start with having kind of one location. Like, if you're going to be delivering a message to the team, where are you going to deliver that at? Because we're in a world where you could get things via email, Slack, text, you know, in person. And so having kind of a regular communication rhythm, I think, does really help. So whether that's a dedicated channel on Slack, whether that's, you know, weekly team huddles, and you may use a variety of both, but really letting your team know, like, where they can expect to hear from you and what types of messages on each. Like, you know, here we do a vision cast on Tuesday. And if there's something that's on my heart, on my mind, that I feel like the team needs to hear, whether it's something that's motivating me or it's an update, you know, an organizational update, vision cast is a great place to do that, because I know I can better express how I'm feeling and what the team needs to hear and take answers or questions and provide answers, you know, via an in-person or Zoom where we can see each other's face. Like, I do much better seeing faces. If it's a quick update or a reminder, then we have a dedicated Slack channel for that. Or if it's a quick, I'm running late, I'll probably likely send you a text because that's what I can grab quickest if I'm in the middle of a meeting. So I think it's important for your team to kind of know what channels, you know, what communication channels you have and what you would typically use them for, and setting some guardrails for that. Also, you know, the balance. I think it's a hard balance in any type of leadership role between informing and inspiring. And what I've learned is that teams need both. And it doesn't matter if you're a team of two or you're a team of, you know, 22 or a team of 102 and beyond. People need to feel like they understand what's going on, but they also need to feel like they are inspired. And there's motivation and kind of excitement behind the work. And so really balancing that out between informing people, but also providing them context and vision and encouragement for what's coming next is so important. So having a combination of both. And then lastly, and we have a friend here, a mutual friend, and I remember interviewing her for the first time. And she kind of at the very beginning of the interview said, I just have to say that I recognize that I have a natural frowning face. Like when my face is resting, my lips just turn down and I'm not upset. In fact, I'm really happy. But I think you have to know that about yourself. I think you have to know, you know, what your natural comfortable tendencies are, your resting face, your resting positions, and just kind of know how you'd be perceived in those situations. And again, it's all about self-assessment. You know, you're not perfect. Your natural is your natural. You'll always go back to it when you feel comfortable. So having good people in your life that can check you and making sure that you're also self-assessing yourself is so important.
Absolutely. And I think that's going to be the overarching theme for anything leadership related is that self-awareness and that like self-growth and that willingness to recognize your own flaws. Some of them are maybe your face, your lips turned down and you can't fix that, but you can fix it in the moment. And it's all about being aware. Carla, these were really great points, but we would be really remiss to leave out is that responsibility of the individual. And I just started talking about that. An organization can really send out as much communication as they want in various forms. But if an individual is not taking the time to read or really listen to those messages, there can still be situations of perceived miscommunication. So how can people address that with themselves?
So I love that point. And I think it's a really good way to wrap up today's podcast, Faye, because I think oftentimes when we feel that communication is breaking down in an organization, we look to the top and we think we just have bad communication or nobody tells me anything or so-and-so knew that, but I didn't know that. And I think it's really important for individuals, regardless of where they land in an organizational chart, how long they've been at an organization, to always take a step back. Like when you feel like there's a communication breakdown, before you know, go much further with that, to really do a self-assessment of how you're receiving information. Because oftentimes there was communication. You may have just missed a regular meeting. Maybe you weren't really mentally present in a meeting. Or maybe you didn't understand why that bit of information was important until you knew later it impacted your world and your work. And then you're like, nobody told me this, when actually they did, but you maybe skipped over it in an email because it wasn't important to you right now. And as humans, it's natural for us to grab onto what makes sense and what matters right now. We are in a world where we are inundated with so many messages that you can't collect everything that you read or hear. So you grab what you need. But it's so important before the blame game starts of where communication is breaking down to think, you know, gosh, like, am I present when my team is communicating to me? Fully present. Am I reading? Not just grazing, you know, glancing, you know, scanning. Am I reading to comprehend the written communication that my team is sending me? Am I making that a priority? Similar to you would make a priority somebody writing you a thank you note, you read every word because it matters.
Absolutely.
To you.
Well, and I think in this industry, we are not only dealing with intra-organization communication, but we also have to stay so on top of what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our local elected leadership, what's going on with other organizations, what's going on with the businesses that we support. So especially in this industry, it can be so easy for us to miscommunication. And if we aren't self-aware that we might miss something on our own, it can be really tempting to start that blame game.
Absolutely. And I think that's another really good point, Faye, of like just making sure you have the time in your schedule, like a dedicated time that you are trying to stay up to date on what's going on in the world, in your community, in the profession, and in your organization. And it takes you being intentional about your time so that you're not just rushing through, that you wake up each day knowing that that's also part of your role. You being informed is the most powerful you. The best practitioner possible is the one that's most informed. And you have to balance that with executing on the workload that you have. But an important piece of that is your ability to stay informed. So do you set aside time each day in those areas to make sure that you have dedicated time and place for yourself to digest that information? So I think that's really important.
Yes, I agree. And actually, that's a really great segue out of this episode. Thank you for being, Carla, because next week we get to talk about productivity. So we'll dive more into that time management and being the best person we can be at work.
Sounds like a plan. I am looking forward to it, Faye.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.